listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee, even though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song shall be, nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee. To read today from Romans chapter 11. First of all, reading the 8th verse, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And then going to the 11th verse of the same chapter, Romans 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be for the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulations them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. But thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. But on thee, toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And if they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be natural branches, be grafted into their own tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. But blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. We have words here that there are many differences of opinion on how they will be fulfilled, exactly what do they mean for the present, for the future. The Spirit directed Paul to write this. Pray for that same Spirit to open our hearts and to give us understanding of it for the glory of God and for the salvation of both Jew and Gentile. Our Father, we come to thee giving thanks. Giving thanks that Christ has been given. Also, Father, coming asking that he might be given to us in application, in power, as Paul could cry out even toward the end of his life, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, acknowledging that he had not yet attained to that for which he was apprehended. And none of us have, Father. We are called to be holy. We are called to be conformed to the image of Christ. And we confess, Father, that we have failed, and we are not of all together having the mind of Christ. As Paul could also say to the Philippians, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. And Father, if we all had that mind as we should, we would give more honor to thee. We would be more in humbleness and more in obedience, and also more in oneness. And we beg of thee that thou would give us the Spirit of Christ, that Spirit of honoring thee, that Spirit of loving our neighbors ourself, that Spirit of denying ourself, that we might then take up our cross and follow Christ. And as Paul could say, the blessings promised and described, if we suffer with him, make us willing to do it, to deny ourselves, and especially, Father, our flesh, that which strives against the Spirit and wants to rise in pride and disobedience and unbelief in every evil way. We think of Paul stating that in his flesh there was no good thing. And Father, we must confess it with him. And we pray that we may have that Spirit that will lead us to see thy kingdom. And not only the part of it, Father, that we must enter into by faith to be saved and to walk in it, but also that part for others. And especially today we pray for that part for the Jewish nation, for Israel, the house of Israel and the house of Judah, all the descendants of Jacob. We pray that we might rightly understand thy word concerning them and that which we can have in prayer and asking for it now. And also, Father, leaving with thee what is still for the future. And we pray that thou would teach all of the church together, that we might be in one accord in prayer throughout the world, even though we cannot be all in one place in prayer and supplication as that early church. But Father, teach us to pray according to this word and according to all of thy word, the many different places in which thou dost teach us, both of Jew and Gentile. We pray, Father, for these spiritual blessings, these eternal blessings for both Jew and Gentile, that we might be together now, that we might be together through all of eternity in Christ. We pray also for the temporal blessings of those that need healing in the body, the injured, the sick. We pray, Father, for those in sorrow, those in lonesomeness, those in weakness, those in hunger, the homeless, the war-torn lands. We pray for blessing in the workplace, the schools. We pray especially, Father, for the homes, and particularly for the troubled homes, the children in them. We pray, Father, for blessings in nature where there is storm, earthquake, flood, drought, wind, all these calamities, the hurricanes, those that are suffering from that in the recent past. We pray, Father, that there might be that help from Thee, and especially that these may be chastisements that bring forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness to those that are exercised thereby, and that they may be many for Thy glory, many for their own present and eternal good. Thou hast said Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. And we pray that many might do that, even in the midst of calamities and chastisements, through Christ. Amen. I'd like to continue with the teaching of God's Word concerning Israel, concerning Judah, concerning, as sometimes it's called, the house of Jacob. Here, Paul is speaking much of using the word Israel and speaking of his kinsmen according to the flesh. We have read different parts of Scripture concerning that from Zechariah. Last week we read from Zechariah, where chapter 8, where God called himself the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts has spoken that. And other places we read that the Lord of hosts is his name. In Isaiah 44 we read that God speaks and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. So we may believe that that is particularly speaking of Christ. And sometimes we think of the words the Lord Jesus spoke, straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. In comparison, there are few, particularly today, especially countries that have known the Lord in the past. We think of the great blessings that were in Europe and England after the time of the Reformation, the time of the Puritans, the time of Pietist, others, and their teaching and their influence even coming to this country, the United States of America, and the awakenings that were there. But today is a day of spiritual dearth, day when many do not even attend a house of worship. And sadly, those who want to cannot always find one where the truth is spoken, where it is preached, where it is believed. And we are in a day when we will not endure sound doctrine, as Paul said the day would come. And especially, I want to think of today the sound doctrine of Scripture concerning the place of Israel, past, present, and future. Some believe in the past they were all God's children. Not only God's nation, but God's children with eternal life. Some speaking that, all those that were circumcised, they believe were God's children. And we can see plainly from Scripture that that is not true. Abram's firstborn was not Abram by faith. He was Abram's son in the flesh. But as Paul wrote later, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. We see the same in the next generation, Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. God's sovereignty. Also, we can see the hatred in Esau, wanting, planning to kill his brother. And we can see it going on. We can see it in the following generation, all the brothers of Joseph. One, some of them wanted to kill him. And together they sold him into bondage, into Egypt. And we think of the sons of David, the immorality, the killing one another, one wanting to kill his father. They were not all sons of Abraham by faith. That's the past history. They are not all children of God either today by faith. They are much today like Paul wrote in the 10th chapter of the same letter, the letter to the Romans. He said, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto God's righteousness," or the righteousness of God, "for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." And they thought they established their own righteousness. They thought they kept the law that was given by God when they came out of Egypt, spoken from Mount Sinai, and not only the moral law, the Ten Commandments, but all the ceremonial laws that God gave, speaking to Moses, telling him how to build the tabernacle, and all the different things in the tabernacle, the different places, the altars, and then the way of all the sacrifices that they were to be done. All these ceremonial laws, and those of which Jeremiah would write, and Paul would repeat the words in Hebrews chapter 8, for which covenant they break, God making a covenant with them, giving them the covenant of circumcision earlier, and then that moral law when they came out of Egypt. There's only one covenant that can stand for Israel and can stand for you and I. The covenant made with Abraham in the very beginning, when God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees and said to him, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." First of all, the first time he said, "In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." In his sons down the line, Christ being born, the Virgin Mary, that would bring the blessing on Jew and Gentile, all nations. And that covenant stands. If God blesses us in Christ, the law cannot undo it. We can learn our guilt by the law and then be saved. And after we're saved, we still know that we are guilty according to the law, but can confess our sins and be forgiven. First of all, received, adopted, justified, and then along the way, pleading, as I already mentioned, for Paul, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, that we might not only be forgiven, but that we might live that power by that power of Christ, that faith of Christ as well as in him. And we need to know that. Israel did not know that. They did not know that in the 10th chapter. And Paul is speaking of that in this 11th chapter. If we go back to the earlier part of that chapter, he says that they are enemies for the gospel's sake. But then he states also that they are beloved for the election's sake. God's election, God's predestination made before the foundation of the world. Already we mentioned, speaking of Jacob and the difference between Jacob and Esau. And Paul stated that though they were enemies, at the time of Paul there was a remnant according to the election of grace. But Paul speaks of also in what we read, their fullness. Paul tells us they were cut off for the blessing of the Gentiles. He said that when he met with them in Rome. We can see that in the latter part of the book of Acts, when he met with the Jews there, and some of them believed, but many of them did not. And he says, "Seeing you cast it from you, lo, we go to the Gentiles." He had said that once before in Jerusalem, and the Jews were so angry they threw dust up in the air, and they did not want to hear any more from his lips. That is all true, and as all happened, and the way that God allowed it or planned it, both. And God has a plan for the present. God has a plan for the future. Listen to the 12th verse again of this 11th chapter of Romans. Now, if the fall of them be for the riches of the Gentiles, that which we just spoke of and Paul spoke of, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? We read those sad and solemn words. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. We read from verse 8, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear until this day. That day that Paul wrote this to the church at Rome. It was 1900 and some years ago. He said it's true today. And for the most part, it's still true also on this day. These 1900 years later, it is much the same. Israel as a whole does not recognize that Christ, the Messiah, has come. That the promises made to Adam, Abraham, David, and many others, Isaiah, have been fulfilled. 2013 years ago, roughly that. There might be a slight difference in our calendars, the keeping of the dates, but at that time, near that time, Christ was born in Bethlehem, the Messiah, born of the Virgin Mary. Paul describes it as the fullness of time in Galatians chapter 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Why didn't he then redeem the Jews? Because they did know they were under the law, guilty. As we just read from Romans 10, they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to God's righteousness. God only knows how many are repeating that way of unbelief and pride today in the church, in the Gentile church, going about to establish their own righteousness. I've heard many times of people, I've always loved the Lord. God said, we don't. Paul writes plainly, we don't. Go back to the 8th chapter, this letter to the church at Rome. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I know some might find a way to justify themselves and say, well, I'm not in the flesh. I was born again before I was born. I was born again in my mother's womb. Speaking of John the Baptist, when he heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in Elizabeth's womb. But John the Baptist knew well sin. He knew that he lived in a generation of vipers. How did he learn that? Only from others, not from himself. Paul learned it from himself. Titus says, we also were disobedient, serving lust, divers lust. And Israel is there today in pride and blindness. And I must haste to say with it, many of us Gentiles are there too. Sadly, we're there with them. And there are many that do not take heed to what we read here from Romans 11. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. And then God giving warning, be not high-minded, but fear. Don't talk so carelessly about these people and their sin, their unbelief. Don't boast. We are saved by grace. They must be saved by grace. Neither they nor us will ever be saved by our own works. It is God's grace, his undeserved blessing. Not only in stating to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all three, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, in God sending him into the world, but blessed as well by having our eyes open When a man is born again, he sees the kingdom of God. He sees Christ as the only door into that kingdom. The Christ who was born. The Christ who died. But I haste to add with it, the Christ who rose again and is living. All the other religions have dead prophets. Only Christianity has Christ, the living one, the living God, on the right hand with the Father. Christ alone. Yes, rising again, never to die. The eternal God with the Father. And He is the one that is sitting on the right hand of the Father, of whom God has said, on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. One by one, sinners are made to do like Paul was made to do. Who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do? Willing, made willing. An unwilling person made willing. And he isn't the only one. I had the same teaching, the same blessing. Blessing through Christ. Peter explains it when he said, when he gave that blessing to you in turning every one of you from his iniquities. Everyone they spoke to, that believed it, that listened, everyone had to be turned. Everyone who believed it was turned. Not just added a blessing, but turned from their iniquities to receive the blessing of God through and because of Christ. And we should be waiting, if we are Gentiles that have believed, we should be waiting for that day when Israel's eyes will be opened, when, as we read from Jeremiah 31, a new covenant will I make with the house of Israel. Not according to the covenant that I made when I took them out of Egypt, which covenant they break. And Paul writing to the Hebrews, as we said, the previous message, that it is to the Hebrews. Listen to what he said. Repeats almost the same words in Hebrews 8 as Jeremiah 31. Verse 8, we're finding fault with them. He saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Those two particularly. Yes, he can make the same covenant with you and I. He can write his law on our hearts. He can make us know we're guilty. He can change us. But here he is speaking particularly with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And if that comes, Paul said, if the cutting off of them was for the blessing of the Gentiles, how much their fullness. And it's spoken of. We could go to Isaiah, Jeremiah, and many others. All there. God said so. He will do it.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.